think only one time before have I been scheduled to lead worship and also speak at the same time. And
you can do it.
Hope you'll bear with me. Hope you won't mind me being up here so much. Keith and Lori had a special scheduled at Methodist Church, so I couldn't weasel my way out of singing. That's a view from a boat ride we were taking across Two Medicine Lake in Glacier National Park. Why were we there, you might ask? Well, we enjoy hiking. And today I'm going to talk about putting on your walking shoes. If you want to hike, you can put on your hiking shoes. In past messages, we've talked about running the race that was set before us. We talked about putting on the spiritual armor and standing with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So today we're going to talk about walking, since we covered running and standing. I want to encourage you to put on your walking shoes today. First, I'd like to start with prayer. Father, thank you so much. You are worthy of our praise. We do stand in awe, as Jason pointed out, of what you've done. It's totally you, totally your Holy Spirit that enables us to carry on from day to day, to put one foot in front of another. And we give you the glory this morning. Ask you to show us from your word what you have for us. Encourage us, convict us, and motivate us to continue walking the walk that you've laid out before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 9. Paul's words to the Colossians. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What better prayer can you pray for your fellow believers? Filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom. Pray that other believers are able to understand the will of God and that they walk worthy, bearing fruit. Now, if you do a study of walking in Scripture, there are many, many ways to walk. And I don't have time to cover all of them, but I've picked out a few to take a look at. First, walk in His ways. Proverbs 14 reminds us that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it's the way of death. So we can start walking our own way and run into trouble right off the bat. If you see the news headlines every day, there's headlines full of people walking the wrong way, walking their own path and meeting disaster along the way. So we can't rely on our own intuition, our own feelings. We have to have a better standard than that. We need righteous guidance. Deuteronomy 10:12. This whole theme is repeated several times through Deuteronomy. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your own good. To walk in all His ways. All right, this was to the Israelites. As Spirit-filled believers, are we required to do any less? I would say we have an even higher standard. We should be walking in His ways under the power of the Holy Spirit, right? He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then He wants us walking in His ways as believers as well. And it's not just a begrudging walk. It's an eager walk. Eagerly, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Just jump right in there and get one foot in front of the other. Walk in his ways. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Pay attention, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. First step is forsake and return, and then seek the Lord's ways. And back to the original theme we had back in Proverbs, these are not the ways of man, these are God's ways. Our thoughts and our intentions are not the same as God's. So realign them. That's the point of this passage. Seek the Lord's ways. In Psalm 143, I love this verse. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me in the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Every day when you wake up, what's the first thing you can do? Check your iPhone for messages. No. The first thing you can do in the morning is cry out to the Lord. Lord, what do you have for me today? What is in store is unknown to me. I can trust you. Daryl was talking about trust in the passage in John 14 this morning. I can trust you to carry me through with every step. And then from this passage two, it says, teach me in the way in which I should walk. Are we teachable? Are we willing to learn new things? I would suggest that as we age, we become hardened more. We become unteachable. Mark's always laughing at Margaret and I, fussing over not being able to hear each other correctly and, you know, misinterpreting. And we tend to start saying back what we thought we heard now to each other so we can correct each other. And some of them are pretty humorous. Just this morning, in fact, we had a discussion about hail and tin roofs and things like that. Are we teachable? Are we hardened? Do we think that we've arrived and are no longer needing the Lord's help to take a step after a step? Are we teachable? Yes, we can be. And then, like I said earlier, it's an alignment for every morning, every day. We tend to think that God's ways are, you know, like spider webs wandering off in the desert. But I'd like to think of it more as it's a path that he has for us as we travel from the valleys to his heights into the land beyond. There's not many paths to make it up here to Triple Divide path. There's one. There's a cliff blocking your access above you. And then there's a cliff at the head wall of the pass and a lake. Unless you like swimming in 33, 34 degree water, you're going to stick on the path. And the path is well defined. It leads to vistas and lands beyond. God has carved a path for you. He has his way, and it's the way. And that's the direction he has for you to take to get to his land beyond. So the encouragement this morning is get on his path. Get on his ways. Walk his ways. Secondly, walk in the light. Psalm 89. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Oh, Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. Think about God's countenance and the light of loving kindness and truth radiating from him. We are given many examples in Scripture. I think of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, John, and the Revelation about the light of the throne room or the light of their view of God on his throne. And what's interesting is sound always accompanies the light. It's always described as a loud thunder or thunderous roar or sound of many waters. And the aspect of light and noise goes with thunderstorms, for example. You know, without the thunder, the lightning would just be blinding and surreal. So as we are emanating light in our spiritual walk, are we pouring forth praise? Are we just little candles wandering silently through life? Or are we radiating the noise of praise pouring from us? Ephesians 5:8-9. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. See a repetition of what we saw in Psalm 89. Walk as children of light, radiating goodness, righteousness, and truth. Is that our life experience? Something to ponder. Well, 1 John 1. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is not a twilight zone verse here. It's either you're walking in darkness or you're walking in the light, one or the other. Christ's very essence is light. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship. So there's a connection between light and fellowship that John's pointing out here. The light's also important here because it's illuminating the sin in our life. As we see his blinding illumination, the sin becomes very evident. It's when you see a white piece of clothing in candlelight, well, there's so many shadows you can't see the stains on it or the dirt on it. But when you have a bright halogen LED light shining on it, you'll see every impurity on it. And that's the way Christ's light is. It reveals our sin. But this verse goes on to tell us that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The promise is cleansing. When we were out in South Dakota Wind Cave, Margaret pointed this experience out last week. We took a cave tour down through, it's a sponge-like formation, about a square mile of caves, 148 miles of passageways all crammed into a square mile. And so there's passageways. They stopped one point and said, okay, stand here and look. And you see three passages here, and you see four passages there, and you see two more over here, and there's another few back here. You could go in any direction, and if you went in the wrong one, you get lost. And that kind of happened to us. thankfully, they did have concrete on the main paths. But there are plenty of unpaved paths. Part of this tour was a blackout. If you've ever been in a tour, I think Luray Caverns may do a blackout. I know Mammoth Cave did, too. It's very informative because it shows you how totally vulnerable you are without any light in your life. And they make you sit down because you can have vertigo and fall over if you're standing. And you sit there, they turn the lights off. And as Daryl pointed out last week, it's almost palpable. You know, I think the reference in Genesis for the curse on the Egyptians was definitely stronger than what I felt, but you definitely feel like there's something, you know, muffling you. You know, you feel a closeness. Your ears seem to become muffled. Your eyes are straining for any little thing. You see nothing. And it's sinister. It deprives you of your senses. You feel lost. You feel powerless. And that's what I think the believer should feel if we're walking in darkness. We should feel powerless and out of place. We should strive to get back into fellowship with Him, walk in the light again, be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Walk in the light. Third, walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul's talking about the burdens of living in a fleshly body that's weighed down by its weaknesses. For indeed, while we were in this tent, we groaned, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. What's he talking about? Physical clothing? No, he's talking about spiritual, eternal clothing. So that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Clothed with spiritual, immortal clothing. And I like the way he phrases it there. What is mortal will be swallowed up by life. You know, we tend to think this is life. He's saying, no, this is mortality. This is weighed down with burdens. He's given us life, eternal life. Are there any people out there who are groaning today? Jesse, did you groan when you got up this morning? I do it more and more. James, don't you long for the immortality, the aspect of life without the groaning, weighed down by foot problems, you know, weighed down by hearing problems? We all have things that are afflicting us, and those are part of our mortality. We need to walk by faith that He has a place for us. We're not at home with Him yet. We're in this mortal body. One day we'll be with Him. We walk by faith, not by sight. Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. This walk of faith should be pouring out gratitude. And it's not just happiness, right? Happiness is one of those human terms. It's gratitude, gratefulness. We sing the song, I'm forever grateful for you, to you. And it's not about temporary mortal things. It's about eternal things, gratitude. Christ is the architect of faith here. Having received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. He provides the foundation, and He establishes us and enables us to walk on in faith that He is the foundation of. Hebrews 11, the famous chapter on faith, verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promise. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, that as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He prepared a city for them. There's a list of believers in this chapter that we all have seen in the Old Testament, and they've gone before us as an example. He lists them as an encouragement. But in the midst of their walk, he points out that many of them died horrible deaths. They were persecuted. They were torn asunder, etc. How is that an encouragement to us? It's not their earthly demise that is encouraging. It's the fact that they walked on in faith to receive the heavenly reward. And our walk of faith is a walk toward a heavenly reward. been reading a book, autobiography by George Mueller. And, you know, I've known about the orphanages that he had and some of the stories and how they prayed for their meals and the Lord delivered. And reading his autobiography, it's a deeper story. He lived 92 years. He's German, immigrated to England, and started a Bible and Tract Society in the mid-30s. He was praying about the situation of orphans in the country and started an orphanage in 1836. One of the things that he really felt strongly about was that he should never ask for money. He should never publicly say he has needs. If God is faithful to provide, then God will provide it without people hearing about it and feeling compelled. So he would just lay things before the Lord, pray earnestly over it, and see what happened. And there were many times when things didn't happen like he was hoping. You know, things showed up at the very last minute, and a couple of times after the very last minute, and payments were made. He also was very strongly against any kind of debt in Christ's name, that God would provide. If God didn't want it to happen, he wouldn't provide for it. The thing that really encouraged me about this was that as he was ministering the first year or so, he realized that because he kept these things secret between him and his friend Henry Craik and his wife, that the workers in the orphanages and the orphans themselves weren't getting the blessing as a result of it. They weren't becoming a part of the prayer. So he began to enlist them too. He would say, "We need to pray for food. You know, we don't have resources to pay the salaries of the people that work here." And the encouraging thing is that the Lord used that to actually strengthen the faith of all the people that were involved in the ministry too. And he came to see that this is a necessary part, that his walk by faith as a witness to an encouragement to the people that worked in the ministry too. So that's the way our walk of faith should be. It should be something that bleeds over into other people's lives. It's not just a private walk. Walk by faith. Fourthly, walk in humility. You know the Micah 6:8 passage. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." And in Ephesians 4, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called, with humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love." Walk with humility and gentleness should be a characteristic of a Christian. It should be the way we live, humility, totally opposite of what we see around us. It should become all the more evident as we walk in humility. And then Proverbs 3, we memorize 5 and 6. Oops, I got it too far. I left a verse off. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." The next verse is, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Acknowledge the Lord with all your heart. All your ways, your paths will be straight. Your paths will be certain and well-defined when you walk in humility. As an illustration, I was thinking about how we try to pack things into our lives for heaven, right? We try to add things to make us more acceptable to God, more palatable. I've been walking with the Lord 35 years now, and I have this to add to his kingdom. I'm going to provide an advantage for the Lord because of all that I've accumulated. And the Lord doesn't take us to heaven with an overstuffed bag. He's given us the Spirit. He's given us all these gifts. What do we have to offer other than be willing to use what He's given us? What extra things are we going to try to carry with us to, you know, justify our great walk here on earth? There's nothing. Nothing we can add. He's provided it all. That's the walk of humility, realizing that only the Lord has enabled me to be where I am, and only the Lord will carry me through. He's going to help me walk toward His promised land. We brought nothing into the world. We'll take nothing out. Fifthly, walk in His security. And this is not bank securities. This is not stocks and bonds. This is not feeling smug and self-sufficient. This is knowing, like Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. This is knowing that in the midst of potential death, not death-defying, death-inspiring circumstances, He is with me. He enables me to live securely. And this verse is pointing out we will walk through hazards in life. There will be death. There will be obstacles. There will be mortal death. And the shepherd is going to bring us through securely. What a wonderful thing to cling to. Psalm 116. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Did David cry? Sure. Did he face death? Many times. Did he stumble? Yes. The Lord rescued him from the midst of these circumstances, and that's what he's clinging to. The fact that the Lord is able to lift him up, help him to walk again. Habakkuk chapter 3, the whole list of horrors before this verse. And then Habakkuk says, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive shall fail, the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet, makes me walk in my high places. It's no fruit, no vegetables, no flocks. Everything is stripped away. I can still exult in the Lord. That's a hard one for us to claim. You have to be in that situation to claim it, but the Lord, through the points we've talked about before, walking in humility, walking in His ways, can enable us to say these things. All these things are going to be stripped away one day anyway. We're going to be walking on the Lord's high places, not the earthly, mortal high places. It's important to keep that perspective. He enables me to walk securely. My high places. One last illustration. Up in Two Medicine Glacier National Park, there's a lake called No Name Lake, and you'd think after 200 years they'd come up with a name for it, but still No Name Lake. And it's got a vertical cliff along the back wall there. You can't see the back where I'm pointing. It's really vertical right here. We were told to look for mountain goats in the area. And sure enough, if you squint really hard, you can see some white spots. And I couldn't really tell what these were until I zoomed in with the video camera. And you can see a couple of mountain goats sitting here, and then another one over to the side. And I took my my computer and expanded those out, so they're kind of grainy. But sure enough, there's three mountain goats lying there on the cliff, just dwelling in security.
And then in South Dakota, since I couldn't get close to these three, I took a photo of this mountain goat probably 40 feet away from me, dwelling in security on much stabler ground. But goats are equipped to walk on high places, have special pads in their feet, and it's funny to watch them hopping around along the rocks and running up and down what we would think would be impossible obstacles. They're totally equipped by the Creator. Marvelous to watch. We too have been created and equipped to walk in security. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us His strength. He's given us His promises. There's so many promises that we can cling to that enable us to walk on His high places in security. So that's my encouragement for this morning, to seek His ways. Seek His light. Walk in His light. Walk by faith. And that's just not a, you know, one-time event. That's a lifetime, as we saw in Hebrews 11. Walk in humility, knowing that you have nothing that you didn't receive, and walk in security. Psalm 25:4 says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Make me know your ways." That's my prayer this morning. That's my prayer for you too. If you aren't walking in the Lord's ways, I encourage you to think about that. Ask Him to reveal His ways to you. If you'd like to know more about salvation and how to walk a walk of faith, please come up and talk to me afterwards. Be glad to talk. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful plan of salvation and redemption in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the walk that you enable us to walk under the power of your Spirit day by day by grace. Thank you for this day, opportunity to worship you, to learn of you. In Jesus' name.